Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today we are going to be turning another Olympian god, Artemis, into a D&D character. So the very first episode I did was Zeus, and I had this idea that I would eventually get to all 12 Olympian gods and Hestia and Hades. So now I'm finally doing, you know, months later, my second Olympian god, because this was actually a recommendation. So, boom, Artemis, let's do it. So Artemis was the daughter of Zeus and also Leto. So Zeus is married to Hera. Zeus is the king of the gods, Hera, the queen of the gods, the goddess of marriage and family. But Zeus would stick it in whatever. So Zeus got Leto pregnant, and Hera says, okay, you can't have your children on Earth, essentially. So she found an island that was not attached to the ocean floor, Delos, and therefore it was not considered land, and she could give birth. So Leto gave birth to Apollo and Artemis. Some myths say that they were born at the same time. Some myths say that Apollo was born first and, as the god of medicine, helped to deliver Artemis. Most stories say that Artemis was born first, and as the goddess of childbirth, she became the sort of midwife and helped to deliver Apollo. So there aren't many surviving myths about Artemis's early childhood, but there is a poem, I believe, that talks about the 10 wishes she asks of Zeus. 1, to always remain a virgin. 2, to have many names to set her apart from her brother. 3, to have a bow and arrow made by the Cyclopes, and the Cyclopes made, you know, Zeus's lightning bolt. So she wanted a bow and arrow made by them. She wanted to be like the light bringer, so the goddess of the moon. She wanted to have a short knee-length tunic so she could hunt. Women at the time wore longer tunics to cover legs, but she wanted knee-length like the men so she could hunt. She wanted to have 60 daughters of Oceanus, all 9 years of age, to be her choir. So she wanted these 60 daughters of the Titan of the Ocean to be her choir. She also wanted to have 20 nymphs to be her handmaidens. 8, she wanted to rule all the mountains. 9, she wanted to be assigned any city and only to visit when called by birthing mothers, because most gods had like a patron city or a city that was theirs, like Athena, the goddess of wisdom, had Athens. She wanted any city, but to only go when she was called by birthing mothers. And 10 was to have the ability to help women in the pains of childbirth, because Artemis believed she had been chosen by the Fates, capital F, to be a midwife. So the poem goes on to tell how Artemis spent her girlhood seeking out the things to become a huntress. So how she got her bow and arrows from the Cyclopes, how she collected Oceanus's daughters, how she visited the god Pan, god of the forest and wild things, who gave her all of these hunting hounds. So Artemis is the goddess of many things. They pretty much all are. There were a lot of them, but the Olympians were still usually the gods of multiple things. So she's the goddess of the hunt, the wilderness, wild animals, the moon, chastity, childbirth. And as I mentioned earlier, she's a member of the 12 Olympians who lived on Mount Olympus. Her weapon was traditionally a bow and arrows, though some have depicted her with a hunting spear. Her animal symbols were stags and deer. She was very often depicted with a stag. So it's hard to get into background, because most of the gods don't really have extensive backgrounds. You know, they're gods, you know, they don't really have a childhood the same way that mortals do. They are born, they are gods, and then they continue to be gods. They don't exactly grow into gods. But Artemis would go hunting with her maidens, and that's like how she spent most of her time. She would attend to those who worshipped her on occasion by, you know, easing the pains of childbirth, by blessing hunts. She was also a fan of conservation, so she hunted, but she very much appreciated the wild natural things and did not take kindly to people who violated that. So people who killed animals out of malice, let's say, or even revenge. There's one story of a bear that came to a town, and they would like feed the bear and they would pet the bear, and it kept coming to the town. They would feed it. So eventually it became kind of tame, but then I guess it mauled a girl. And so the girl's brothers took revenge and slaughtered the bear. But then Artemis took revenge for the bear. And I think she sent a plague. And anyway, from then on, the girls had to play the part of a bear and act as bears, dress as bears. I don't know. But anyway, so let's just go right into background, because it's hard to do anything else. So for background, I'm thinking I'm just going to go with Outlander, because that's very much what she is. You know, she's grown up in the wilds. The wilds are in her blood. She's an explorer, a hunter. Outlander works well for that. Skill proficiencies, she's going to get athletics and survival. She's going to be proficient in one type of musical instrument. How about the lyre? Which is an instrument her brother invented, her brother Apollo. So sure, she's proficient in the lyre and a language of her choice. We'll pick that a little later, but athletics, survival, and the lyre. I love that for her. Okay. Now that we have her background Outlander, we can move on to race. I'm pretty sure I made Zeus in Asimar, because they're kind of like descended from gods or descended from angels or whatever it is. So I thought that was fitting. I might just do that again for Artemis. Oh, those are kind of boring, because if I am eventually going to do all the Olympians, Hades and Hestia, then should I switch it up, or am I going to make all of them Asimar? Okay, I will switch it up. What race seems like good hunters, you know? I mean, a lot of them. She's pictured with stags a lot, which are, you know, male deer. So how about something slightly similar, and we make her a centaur? Does that make sense? Does it make sense to have her be a centaur? Like, I don't hate it. I'm thinking about what her patron animals are, and it's stags and deer. And horses are essentially deer, if you squint really hard and you're far away and you have bad eyes. Okay, sure, why not? Artemis is a centaur now. So you're welcome. So as a centaur, she's going to get +2 to strength, +1 to wisdom. The normal speed of most races is 30 feet, but her speed is 40 feet because she's got those four legs. Her creature type is going to be fey rather than humanoid. I have a player who is a satyr, which also has this ability, but I said you are a fey and a humanoid, because that would mean a lot of spells that target humanoids just fully could not target him, and that's kind of broken. So, but for Artemis, I think it makes sense for her not to be humanoid. She is like this fey celestial creature, so sure, why not? Actually, I think I might just change fey to celestial. So her creature type is celestial rather than humanoid. Why not? She has the ability charge, so she moves at least 30 feet straight toward a target and then hits it with a melee weapon attack on the same turn. She can immediately follow the attack with a bonus action, making one attack against the target with her hooves. In the hooves attack, her hooves are natural melee weapons, which she can use to make unarmed strikes. And if she hits them, she's going to deal bludgeoning damage equal to 1d4 plus her strength modifier. Normally, unarmed strikes are just 1 plus your strength modifier, but now she gets to roll a 1d4 when she hits with her hooves, and if she charges, if she makes a melee weapon attack, she can just use her hooves as a bonus action attack. She has equine build, so she counts as one size larger when determining her carrying capacity and the weight she can push or drag. In addition, any climb that requires hands and feet is especially difficult for her because of her equine legs. So when she makes such a climb, each foot of movement costs 4 extra feet instead of the normal 1 extra foot. So essentially, if you're trying to, like, climb a cliff, that's difficult terrain, so your movement speed is essentially halved. So every 1 foot you climb takes 2 feet of movement. But now for her, every 1 foot she climbs takes 5 feet of movement. So not good at climbing, that's okay. Thanks to Survivor, she's going to have proficiency in one of the following skills of her choice: animal handling, medicine, nature, or survival. I think all four of those are very fitting. But because of Outlander, she already has survival, so let's do animal handling. So athletics, animal handling, and survival to start. And she's going to speak, read, and write common and sylvan. But I'm thinking, since I changed the creature type from fey to celestial, I'm also going to change the language. So she can now speak, read, and write common and celestial. Because this is a divine centaur. It's not a fey centaur. It's divine, baby. Okay? So now that we have her background, Outlander, and her race, centaur, we can roll for stats. Let me just pick another language for her. Or I guess because she does get another language from Outlander, we can make that sylvan. Doesn't really change much, but she can speak, read, and write common, celestial from being a centaur, and sylvan from being an Outlander. Beautiful. Now that we have the background and race, we can roll for stats. So that's where you take a d6, a six-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining 3 to get one of the 6 ability scores. So we're going to do that 6 times. Okay, so I rolled for Artemis, and she didn't do too badly. She got 13, 11, 13, 15, 14, and 16. So if one of those 13s had been a 12, she would have 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. But alas, 'twas not meant to be. That's okay. So I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking now, because if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I don't plan this out ahead of time. I have no idea the build that I'm going to end up with every episode. So I am going to kind of pull an audible, I guess, because I'm looking at this now, and Artemis is an archer. We know that. Archers use dexterity. But as a centaur, she gets a +2 to strength, which I don't think she's going to be using at all. I want that dexterity to be higher, so I'm using a kind of optional rule now from Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. And what this rule is it gives you a little more versatility with the races, because instead of using the racial ability score improvements that come built into the race, you can instead just have a +2 to one stat and a +1 to another. And you can pick what those stats are. And I really love this, because you could be a little goblin barbarian, or you could be a Goliath rogue. So I think that's such a creative, fun thing to do. But I never do it with this podcast, because using the racial ability scores provided kind of forced me to be a little bit more creative, I guess. But I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, you know what? She's a goddess. She can have a +2 to dexterity and a +1 to wisdom instead of a +2 to strength and a +1 to wisdom. So that's what I'm doing for this. I don't know how often I'm going to be doing it, because I think this is the first time I'm ever doing it, even though I love it. So long story short, she's going to have a +2 to dexterity and a +1 to wisdom for being a centaur. So with that in mind, we can then put in her highest stat. So she rolled a 16, so I'm going to put that into dexterity, which gets that +2 we're giving her, to give a +4 in dexterity. Really good to start out with, and really great for an archer. Next highest is 15. I'm going to put that into wisdom, which gets a +1. So that becomes a 16 wisdom, or a +3 modifier. Then we have 14. Let's do 14 constitution, because constitution is important for determining hit points. So 14 is a +2 modifier. Then we have, I'm going to do 13 charisma and 13 intelligence. So those are both +1. And then 11 to strength, which is +0. See, I'm pretty sure strength is going to be her dump stat, so wasting that +2 on strength would have really hurt us. Maybe if she rolled better. I mean, she didn't roll badly, but if she rolled even better, then I might not have bothered switching the ability score improvements, but there you have it. Okay, so her starting stats are 11 strength, 18 dexterity, 14 constitution, 13 intelligence, 16 wisdom, and 13 charisma. So now that we have all that, we can pick a class. What do we think we are going to start in? I mean, she is like a ranger, right? So I am going to do ranger. Rangers definitely not my favorite class, but I feel like I make a lot of rangers, or people suggest characters that just make really good rangers, because I haven't done one of my own ideas in a very long time, in months now. But anyway, as a ranger, she's going to gain proficiency in light armor, medium armor and shields, simple weapons and martial weapons, strength and dexterity saving throws. I love proficiency and dexterity saving throws because those are so common. And for skills, she can choose three from animal handling, athletics, insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival. She already has three of those. She already has animal handling, athletics, and survival. So I'm going to do nature, perception, and stealth. Nature, because she lives in nature. She is a goddess of nature. Perception, because I think that helps to, you know, maybe keep track of prey, make sure no one's sneaking up on you. And stealth, so that you can be good at sneaking. First level, she's going to gain favored enemy, so she can choose a type of favored enemy. Beasts, fae, humanoids, monstrosities, or undead. We're going to go with beasts. She's going to gain a +2 bonus to damage rolls and weapon attacks against beasts. Additionally, she's going to have advantage on survival checks to track them, as well as on intelligence checks to recall information about them. Her survival, she has a +5 to survival, because she has a +3 to wisdom, and proficiency is +2 at the moment. So she's going to be making those checks with advantage to track beasts, because, I mean, she's Artemis. She's an incredible tracker, of course. She's also going to have the natural explorer ability, so she's going to ignore difficult terrain. She's going to have advantage on initiative rolls, and on her first turn during combat, she's going to have advantage on attack rolls against creatures that have not yet acted. So those are such awesome abilities that rangers just get. Ignoring difficult terrain, awesome. Advantage on initiative rolls, oh my god, awesome. Advantage on attack rolls against creatures that haven't acted yet on her first turn in combat. So awesome. That's great. Three great abilities. Boom, boom, boom. She's also gonna get some other abilities that help her navigate the wilderness. So when she's traveling for an hour or more, difficult terrain's not gonna slow down the group's travel. They can't become lost except by magical means. When she tracks other creatures, she's also gonna know their exact number, their sizes, how long ago they passed through the area, and a few more things that help with group travel. Second level, she gets some spellcasting, because of course she's a goddess, of course she's magic. Rangers are half-casters, so they're not going to have as many spells or spell slots as, say, wizards or sorcerers will, but right now she has 2 first-level spell slots, and she knows a couple spells. So the reason why I made Wisdom her second highest is because Wisdom is a ranger's spellcasting ability. So her spell save DC, or what a target needs to equal or beat in order to resist the effects of her magic, is going to be 8 plus her proficiency bonus, plus her wisdom modifier. Proficiency bonus at the moment is 2, wisdom is 3, so her spell save DC is 13, which is pretty good for first level, and her spell attack modifier is going to be just proficiency bonus plus wisdom modifier. So just a +5 there. Again, not bad. Beautiful. Love that for her. Also at second level, she's going to gain a fighting style, which is just a style of fighting that is her specialty. Obviously, we've got to take archery, right? She's the goddess of archery. You can't not. So she now has a +2 bonus to attack rolls she makes with ranged weapons. I feel like that's such an amazing thing at second level. I mean, just overall, a +2 to all range attack rolls is great. But at second level, especially, right now her attack bonus with a bow would be +6. But now that she has the archery fighting style, it's +8. So she's going to add 8 to all of her ranged attack rolls. That is so good. Usually you're not going to see that until like 4th level or 5th level when you get an ability score improvement or your proficiency bonus goes up. I think we're going to go 3rd level in Ranger to get Primeval Awareness. So she can now kind of communicate with beasts. They're going to recognize her as a kindred spirit, which I think is very fitting. So she can communicate simple ideas to a beast, and she can read the beast's emotional state. She can read its basic mood and intent, whether it's affected by magic of any sort, its short-term needs. She can't use this ability against a creature that she's attacked within the past 10 minutes, which I think makes a lot of sense. but she can also attune her senses to determine if any of her favorite enemies lurk nearby. By spending one uninterrupted minute in concentration, she can sense whether any beasts are present within 5 miles of her. So this is going to be incredible for tracking. If she loses the trail, she can just spend a minute to expand her senses 5 miles out to see if she can find this beast that she's been following. So going into level 3 as a ranger, she is going to get a ranger subclass called a Ranger Conclave. I think we are going to go, let's do Beast Conclave. Cause she hunts with her maidens, but she also has hunting dogs. She's also regularly depicted with a stag. So I think it makes sense for her to have an animal companion. And in the Beast Conclave subclass, she's going to get an animal companion. They're traditionally an ape, a black bear, a boar, a giant badger, a giant weasel, a mule, a panther, or a wolf. We are going to give her a stag. She can only have one true animal companion at a time, and if they're ever slain, she can just spend some time to call forth its spirit and just create a new body for it. Which does sound like something a god can do. It's crazy that that's just like a third level ranger ability. Cause imagine like you're just a dude at this point. You know, third level is not very high. It's out of 20. So you're like just a person, but you can just summon an animal spirit, this like undying soul, and just create a new body for it. That seems like some powerful god shit. You know? Anyway, so her animal companion also comes with the ability Companion's Bond. So the animal companion is going to lose its multi-attack ability if it has it. The companion is going to obey her commands as best it can. It's going to roll initiative for itself like any other creature, but Artemis is going to be able to determine its actions, decisions, attitudes, and so on. If Artemis is incapacitated, impossible, or absent, her companion is going to act on its own. So of course you got to imagine that Artemis's animal companion is going to be just stronger than a regular stag. So it's going to use Artemis's proficiency bonus. So the highest your proficiency bonus can get is +6. So eventually it's going to have a +6 proficiency bonus. It's going to add that proficiency bonus to its armor class and to its damage rolls. The companion's also going to gain proficiency in 2 skills of Artemis's choice. So what might help her are stealth and maybe medicine? Maybe this stag is good at medicine. But anyway, it's also proficient in all saving throws. So it has a +2 to all of its saving throws. It has a +2 to its armor class, its damage roll. Also, for every level that Artemis gains after 3rd, her animal companion is going to gain an additional hit die and increase its hit points accordingly. So every level Artemis rolls to get more hit points, her stag is also going to roll to gain more hit points. Whenever Artemis gains the ability score improvement class feature, she can also increase her companion's ability scores. So I think that's really cool. As Artemis gets stronger, her animal companion is going to get stronger as well. I don't want to just keep referring to them as the stag or her stag. So let's name this stag. Should we do Orion? Yeah, okay. So the stag's name is going to be Orion. Orion was Artemis's hunting companion. So normally Artemis shunned men. She did not like their company, didn't trust them, didn't like them. But Orion was an incredible hunter. So he joined the goddess in her hunt. There are a bunch of stories of what happened. A lot of them say that Artemis actually fell in love with him. And I think the first one I heard is Artemis fell in love with him and Apollo could not talk her out of this. Like, she wants to marry him. Apollo's like, you can't do that. You made a vow to be a virgin, to be celibate. I mean, what is virginity, really? But anyway, so Apollo sends a scorpion after Orion and it kills Orion. Artemis then places Orion among the stars. So, you know, Orion's belt, that's the belt of Orion the Hunter, but Orion the Hunter is also part of that constellation. Other stories go that Orion bragged he could kill every beast on Earth, and Gaia, you know, the Earth, was like, that's bullshit. So she sent a giant scorpion to kill him. In one version, Orion died after pushing Artemis's mother, Leto, out of the Scorpion's way. In another version, Orion tries to violate one of Artemis's followers, and Artemis kills him. Another one says that Artemis was in love with him and wanted to marry him, so Apollo tricked Artemis. So while Orion was off swimming in the sea, he pointed at him, barely a spot on the horizon, and wagered that Artemis could not hit that small dot with an arrow. So far away, such a hard shot. But Artemis, ever eager to prove she's the better archer, because Apollo is also a god of archery, they're twin gods of archery, she lets loose the arrow, hits the dot, which was Orion, and kills him. In most of these versions, she does place him among the stars. So I think it makes sense that her hunting companion now, this stag, is named after one of her hunting companions, Orion. Let's go fourth level in Ranger. She's going to get an ability score improvement. And remember, that means her stag can also get an ability score improvement. I love that, staggy boy. But anyway, for this ability score improvement, I say we just max out her dexterity because she's going to be using that for all of her attacks. So that's a 20 dexterity, which is now a +5 modifier. So now she has a +9 to her ranged attack rolls. Excellent. Let's go to fifth level in Ranger. She is going to gain extra attack. So now whenever she takes the attack action on her turn, she can attack twice. So now she can fire out 2 arrows. I love that. She's also going to get a Ranger Conclave feature. And this one is called Coordinated Attack. So with Coordinated Attack, whenever Artemis takes the attack action on her turn, if Orion can see her, he can use his reaction to make a melee attack. So I think that's pretty cool. She can fire an arrow into someone. If Orion is next to that person, they can just strike out with their horns or their hooves, and then she can shoot another arrow at him. It's pretty cool. Also, her proficiency bonus went up to +3, which means all of Orion's bonuses that he gets from that go up. So his armor class goes up, his proficiency goes up, his attack and damage rolls go up as well. I love that for them. Let's see, for sixth level, what should we do for sixth level? I think I am going to multi-class into Druid. I feel like Druid and Ranger are a really common multi-class because they both use like nature magic and stuff like that. So let's go into first level Druid for sixth level overall. So a first level druid, she is going to learn druidic, which is the secret language of druids. So she can leave messages in druidic. Only others who know druidic are going to be able to spot such a message. Others have to make perception checks, but they can't actually decipher the language without magic. She's also going to gain druid spellcasting. So as a 5th level ranger and 1st level druid, she's going to have 4 1st level spell slots and 2 2nd level spell slots. But as a druid, she's not actually strong enough to use those second level spells. She can still use first level spells in the second level spell slot, but she can't prepare second level spells yet. For all of her druid spells, wisdom is still going to be the spellcasting ability. So the spell save DC, now that her proficiency bonus is +3, is going to be 14, and her spell attack modifier is going to be +6. So she's just going to get some extra magic from this. We're going to go second level in Druid. This is 7th overall, where she gains Wild Shape. And that's why I wanted this for her. She can now just transform into a beast. She can use this twice per short or long rest, and she can stay in this beast shape for a number of hours equal to half her Druid level rounded down. So now she can shapeshift into a beast for an hour. I think that makes a lot of sense because Artemis can transform into beasts. She's a goddess. She can alter her shape. So there are some limitations. So right now, the max challenge rating of a creature she can turn into is 1/4 with no flying or swimming speed. So the example is she can now turn into a wolf. Pretty cool. Her strength, dexterity, and constitution are going to be replaced by the stats of the beast, but she's going to retain her own intelligence, wisdom, and charisma. When she transforms, she's going to assume the beast's hit points. So, say she does transform into a wolf, she's just automatically going to have now 11 hit points. So that's not much, but it's essentially like, extra hit points. Because if she turns into a wolf and she takes 10 points of damage, Artemis herself isn't going to take any damage. This wolf form is. If she does happen to take 12 damage, one more than a wolf has, then Artemis herself will take 1 damage. Get it? It's pretty cool. One of my players, she has the ability to turn into elementals. So she was at like 1 hit point or something, and she just transforms into an earth elemental and has like over 100 all of a sudden. The downside is when she is transformed, she can't cast spells. She can't speak. She can't use actions that require hands, obviously. So what she can do is pretty limited to the capabilities of that beast. But I don't think that's really going to be a problem for her because she's surrounded by animals all the time anyway, and people who are familiar with animals, so I'm not sure that's going to be too detrimental to her. Also at second level, she's going to choose her druid circle. And because Artemis can transform into animals, and she's very good at transforming into animals, she... So I'm thinking Circle of Moon, because that will improve her wild shape and she'll be able to transform into stronger animals, be able to do more whilst transformed. But there is a druid subclass called Circle of the Stars, and I did say she turned Orion into a constellation. So I think that would also make sense, but then she is the moon goddess, so maybe Circle of the Moon does make more sense? I'm going Circle of the Moon. Of course I'm going Circle of the Moon. She's the moon goddess. That makes sense. I feel like Circle of Stars would also make sense, but Circle of the Moon makes more sense in my opinion. So now she has Combat Wild Shape. So normally Wild Shape takes an action to transform, but now it is a bonus action, which I love. Because before it would be, okay, I use my action to wild shape, and then I can't really do anything. Now, bonus action wild shape, boom, I'm a wolf, I'm going to attack as my action. Also, while she is transformed, she can use a bonus action to expend 1 spell slot to regain 1d8 hit points per level of the spell slot expended, which is also an awesome ability, because both rangers and druids have access to healing spells, but while she's wild shaped, she can't cast any magic. But now she does have access to an ability to heal herself. Also, the creatures she can transform into become more powerful. So a max challenge rating of 1. So it went from a quarter to 1. So now she can transform into things like a dire wolf, or a lion, or a tiger, or a bear. Wow, yeah, she can. A lion, tiger, and bear. Oh my. Anyway, I think for 8th level, we're going to go 3rd level in druid. So as a 3rd level druid, the only thing that happens is now she can prepare 2nd level druid spells. At this point, she now has 3rd level spell slots because she's multiclassed, but she can't prepare 3rd level spells for ranger or druid now, because neither of them are strong enough. She can still cast 1st and 2nd level spells in those spell slots, but no 3rd level spells for her. Yet. Let's do 4th level in druid, that is 9th overall. She's going to gain an ability score improvement. So I think now that she's using wisdom for all of her ranger spells and now her druid spells, I think we should increase that. So it's going to go from a 16 to an 18, which is now a +4 modifier. And looking at her stats now, her dexterity's maxed out, her wisdom's almost maxed out, her constitution's good. I don't know if we're going to be using any ability score improvements to bump up her ability scores, because I think her wisdom is high enough. I feel like using her next ability score to max out wisdom would kind of be a waste. So she gets an ability score improvement, but also as Circle of the Moon, now the max challenge rating is still 1. The only limitation now is no flying speed. So she can now have a swimming speed. So now she can transform into things like a giant octopus or a giant toad. Let's go. I really want her to be able to fly. Yeah, I want her to be able to fly. Okay. So we are going to go 5th level into druid. That is just going to give her access to 3rd level druid spells. At this point, she has 4th level spell slots. Too bad, can't learn any 4th level spells, but now 3rd level druid spells. Let's go 11th level. So now 6th level in Druid, she's going to gain another ability from the Circle of the Moon subclass. But also the max challenge rating of her beast shapes goes to 2. So now she can transform into things like a giant elk, a hunter shark, a polar bear. She can just transform into a dinosaur, an Allosaurus. I think that's pretty cool. You come across Artemis and she just transforms into a dinosaur and kills you. More likely she would turn you into a stag and then hunt you, which is something she has done. But the actual ability the Circle of the Moon gives is called Primal Strike. So now when she is in a beast form, all of her attacks are going to count as magical. And this is just for the purpose of overcoming resistance and immunity to non-magical attacks and damage. Because there are a lot of creatures that have resistance and immunity to non-magical attacks. Now, she is magical. Let's do 7th level in Druid. She's now going to be able to learn 4th level Druid spells. Of course, at this point, she does have a 5th level spell slot. Too bad. Can't learn 5th level spells. Now we are going to go 8th level in Druid. This is 13th level overall. She's going to get another ability score improvement. Like I said, I don't think we're going to actually be increasing her ability score anymore, so we can give her a feat, which is like a special ability that she can have. So there are a lot that I want to give her, but we're going to do Sharpshooter, which makes a lot of sense for an archer. So now attacking at long range isn't going to impose disadvantage on her ranged weapon attack rolls. And of course it shouldn't. She's the goddess of archery. She can hit whatever shot you want her to. Her ranged weapon attacks are going to ignore half cover and three quarters cover. And also, before she makes an attack with a ranged weapon that she's proficient in, she can choose to take a -5 penalty to the attack roll. And if the attack hits, she's going to add +10 to the attack's damage. So she is a 13th level character. Her proficiency bonus is +5. Her dexterity is +5. And she has the archery fighting style. So she has +12 to her ranged attack rolls. So even if she took a -5 penalty, she's still going to have a +7. And she can attack twice. So she can potentially do an additional 20 damage every turn with her ranged attacks. That's awesome. That is so good. Okay, beautiful. I love that for her. But also at 8th level, and I think this might be the last level we go into in Druid, she now doesn't have any limitations of what she can transform into. So she can transform into things of a max challenge rating of 2 that have a flying speed. Like a Quetzalcoatlus, which is also a dinosaur, kind of like a pterodactyl, but it has an incredible flying speed of 80 feet. So she can just turn into this giant winged dinosaur, or she could turn into a giant vulture, a giant eagle. I just wanted to give her the ability to transform into something that allowed her to fly. Because when I think of gods, I think of, you know, being able to move very quickly, but also being able to fly. Gods can fly. Don't quote me on that, but maybe do. Anyway, so now for 14th level, I think we are going to, let's see, she's a 5th level ranger, an 8th level druid. Should I just go back into ranger? I guess, yeah, let's go back into ranger. So she's going to become a 6th level ranger. So she's going to get a favored enemy improvement. So her favored enemies are already beasts, but now she can gain an additional favored enemy called a greater favored enemy. So she can choose aberrations, celestials, constructs, dragons, elementals, fiends, or giants to be her greater favorite enemy. I think I'm going to go with giant because she has slain a few giants in her day. They tried to overthrow the Olympians and she just would not have it. So she's going to gain all the benefits against giants that she normally would against beasts, including an additional language. So now she can speak giant. So the language she learns is typically one spoken by the enemy. I'm realizing I never actually gave her a language for her first favorite enemy because she was supposed to get a language there, and I guess I kind of glossed over it. So beasts obviously don't typically speak, so we can just give her whatever language we want. She already speaks common, celestial, sylvan, druidic, and giant. So what's a language we think she should be able to speak? Let's do abyssal. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Back to greater favorite enemy. So she got the giant language, but now her bonus to damage rolls against all of her favorite enemies is going to increase from plus 2 damage to plus 4. So now when she attacks beasts, she's going to do plus 4 damage to them. Whenever she attacks giants, she's going to do plus 4 damage to them. She's also going to have advantage on saving throws against the spells and abilities used by a greater favored enemy. So that is pretty cool right there. Let's do 15th level, 7th in Ranger. That's going to be another Ranger Conclave feature from the Beast Conclave, and that is going to be called Beast's Defense. So while Orion can see Artemis, it's going to have advantage on all of its saving throws. So I think that is pretty cool right there. So 16th level overall, 8th level in Ranger, that is going to be another ability score improvement. So let's give her another ability. She already has Sharpshooter. So let's see, what else should archers have? You know what? I think I might give her something. Oh, should I? Yeah, okay. So I am going to give her the ability Fighting Initiate. So she's just going to develop another fighting style. So she already has the archery fighting style, but she can get another fighting style from the fighters list this time. So I am going to give her the fighting style Close Quarters Shooter. So remember, Sharpshooter made it so that attacks outside of her bow's range didn't impose disadvantage. Well, now when she makes a ranged attack while she's within 5 feet of a hostile creature, she's not going to have disadvantage on that attack roll either. So essentially, she's just never going to have disadvantage. All ranged weapons have a range, and if they're too close, then it's disadvantage. If they're too far away, it's disadvantage. Now she can just ignore that. She can shoot whomever she wants. Her ranged attacks are going to ignore half cover and three quarters cover against targets within 30 feet of her. Sharpshooter already did that. But finally, she's going to have a plus one bonus to attack rolls on ranged attacks. So with Archer and Close Quarter Shooter, she's going to have a plus 3 to her attack rolls. So she is 16th level. She still has a plus 5 proficiency bonus. It's going to go up next level. But plus 5, dexterity is plus 5 and plus 3. She's going to have a plus 13 to her attack rolls. Even if she takes the minus 5 penalty from Sharpshooter, it's still going to be plus 8, which is very good, especially because she can attack twice, and if she goes first in the initiative order, she can make both those attacks with advantage if her target hasn't gone yet. She's going to wreck shit, and I love that for her, honestly I do. Also at 8th level in a Ranger, she's going to gain the ability Fleet of Foot. So now on her turn, she can just use the dash action as a bonus action. I think that's pretty cool because as a centaur, her movement speed is 40 feet. So if she dashes as a bonus action, it can be 80 feet. If she uses her action to dash as well, she can move 120 feet. And as a ranger, she ignores difficult terrain. So she can just sprint 120 feet in one turn over difficult terrain without it even bothering her. I think that's a pretty good ability for the Goddess of the Hunt to have, to be able to just put on a burst of speed and just corner someone like that. 8th level Druid, 8th level Ranger. I'm thinking if I should go 9th level in Ranger or 9th level in Druid. You know what? I'm gonna multi-class. I've been doing this a bunch lately since I did, I think, One Punch Man. I did a triple class, and then last episode with Rasputin, I did a quadruple class, so let's do another triple class. I've gotten a taste for it. Tastes so delicious. We're going to multi-class into Cleric. So an 8th level Ranger, an 8th level Druid, now a 1st level Cleric. And I'm doing this because she is a god, and Clerics are typically holy warriors. So I think this will kind of reflect that she is a god, not just this kind of nature spirit or hunter, but she's a divine nature spirit slash hunter. So 1st level in Cleric, she's going to gain spellcasting. Fortunately, clerics also use wisdom for their spellcasting ability. So she has plus 4 to wisdom. Her proficiency bonus at this point is now plus 6. So her spell save DC for all of her spells, Druid, Ranger, and Cleric, is going to be 18, and her spell attack modifier is going to be plus 10, which is very good. At first level, she's also going to pick her divine domain. I kind of know what it is, or what I want it to be, I guess. I think I am going to give her the Twilight Domain. So she's the goddess of the moon, but the Circle of the Moon druid ability didn't really reflect that. It just made her better at shapeshifting into strong animals. Which, don't get me wrong, that's tight as hell. But I think the Twilight Domain is better shows a goddess. Well, I mean, we'll see. So as a Twilight Domain cleric, she gains Eyes of the Night. So she now has dark vision out to a range of 300 feet. Dark vision is regularly 60 feet. Even improved dark vision or superior dark vision is normally 120 feet. She can see 5 times further than regular people with dark vision. And I think that's very fitting for a goddess of the moon who is more powerful at night and more active at night. Also, as an action, she can magically share the dark vision of this feature with willing creatures she can see within 10 feet of her, up to a number of creatures equal to her wisdom modifier, which is 4. The shared dark vision is going to last for 1 hour. Once she shares it, she can't do so again until she finishes a long rest, unless she expends a spell slot of any level to share it again. So I think this is really cool because Orion doesn't have dark vision, so now she can just magically share dark vision with him. And after the hour runs up, she can just expend like a first level spell slot and be able to share it again. So they're going to be great at tracking things, they're going to be great at hunting. Pretty much one of the only things that could have given her disadvantage on her ranged attack rolls is if it was too dark for her to actually see the target. But now, haha, we got rid of that as well. Good for you, Artemis. She's also going to get Vigilant Blessing. So as an action, she can give one creature she touches advantage on the next initiative roll the creature makes. So that's awesome because she already has advantage on her initiative rolls, but now she can give Orion advantage on initiative rolls as well. Why not? We're going to go, what is it now, 18th level, so second in cleric. She is going to get Channel Divinity, and she can use this once per short or long rest. The class Channel Divinity is just called Turn Undead. So as an action, all undead that can see or hear her within 30 feet of her have to make a wisdom saving throw. And if the creature fails the saving throw, it is turned for 1 minute and has to spend its turns trying to run away from her. And this ends after a minute or until it takes any damage. So that's fine. I mean, it's kind of a lame ability at 18th level, but she's also going to get a Divine Domain feature from the Twilight Domain, and that is called Twilight Sanctuary. This is another Channel Divinity option. So now as an action, she can create a sphere of twilight that emanates from her. The sphere is centered on her, has a 30-foot radius, and is filled with dim light. The sphere moves with her, and it lasts for 1 minute, or until she's incapacitated or she dies. Haha, impossible. Whenever a creature, including her, ends their turn in the sphere, she can grant that creature one of these benefits. She can grant it temporary hit points equal to 1d6 plus her cleric level, which is 1d6 plus 2, or she can end one effect on it, causing it to be charmed or frightened. So that's pretty cool because she can give all of her allies temporary hit points now, and she doesn't even really have to do anything. They just have to end their turns in her Twilight Sanctuary, or if someone has them charmed or frightened, they can just run into her Twilight Sanctuary and be cured of it. I think that's pretty godly. Third level cleric, she is just going to gain access to second level cleric spells. At this point, she has all the way up to 8th level spell slots, but she can't actually learn any spells higher than 4th level. She can learn 4th level druid spells. Everything else is going to be much lower. But now, second level cleric spells. A lot of good things there, like Shield of Faith is a good one, Warding Bond. We're going to go 4th level in cleric to get an ability score improvement. The last one we are going to get because, hey, look at that. She is 20th level now. I love that for her. So we are going to pick another feat. She already has Sharpshooter and Fighting Initiate. So what else? One last ability that is very fitting for the goddess of the moon, goddess of the hunt. I am thinking spell sniper, which would double the range of her spells that require an attack roll. But rangers, druids, and clerics don't really have many of those. Like sorcerers, warlocks, wizards have those. So I think I'm going to go with... I'm thinking naturalist, because she is a nature goddess. No. This is hard, because there's some that I'm like, that'll make sense, but then I read through it and I'm like, I don't know if that's the best thing. Ooh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give her piercer. So we can increase her strength or dexterity by 1. Dexterity is already maxed out, so let's bump that strength from an 11 to a 12, which is now a plus 1 modifier. Once per turn, when Artemis hits a creature with an attack that deals piercing damage, like from one of her arrows, she can re-roll one of the attack's damage dice, and she has to use the new roll. But that's pretty awesome, because for a longbow, it's going to be 1d8 of damage, but if she rolls a 1 for damage, she can just re-roll it now. Also, when she scores a critical hit that deals piercing damage to a creature, she can roll an additional damage die when determining the extra piercing damage the target takes. So if she gets a nat 20, which she rolls a 20 on the die, normally she would roll 2d8 damage, because it doubles the dice that you roll, but now she's going to roll 3d8 damage. So I don't think this one is as good as Sharpshooter or Fighting Initiate, but I think it makes sense to make her arrows even more deadly. So that was 20th level, so that's it! That's Artemis! Oh, I love it. So Artemis, a goddess of the hunt. Her background is Outlander. Her race is Centaur. She is a level 8 Beast Conclave Ranger. She got Orion, her stag, from that. Level 8 Circle of the Moon Druid. Lets her shapeshift real well. And level 4 Twilight Domain Cleric. Lets her see in the dark crazy well. Her ending stats are 12 Strength, 20 Dexterity, 14 Constitution, 13 Intelligence, 18 Wisdom, and 13 Charisma. Great stats there. For your skill proficiencies, she has plus 10 to animal handling, plus 7 to athletics, plus 7 to medicine, plus 11 to perception, plus 11 to stealth, and plus 10 to survival. And with that survival, remember, if she's tracking a beast or a giant, she's going to gain advantage on that survival roll. She's going to add plus 10 to it. She's so good at tracking things. And with plus 11 stealth and perception, she's going to be so good at sneaking up on things. For saving throws, she has plus 7 to strength saving throws and plus 11 to dexterity saving throws. For languages, she has common, celestial, sylvan, druidic, giant, and abyssal. Lots of languages there. Tool proficiencies, she is proficient with the lyre, an instrument her brother Apollo made. And for feats, she has sharpshooter, fighting initiate, which we use to take close quarters shooter, and piercer to strengthen her arrows. So my idea of Artemis is pretty easy to imagine, as I hope it is for you. She's just chilling with her stag Orion. They're hanging out, they're plotting their next move, and Artemis is like, I sense a beast nearby. She can just use her primeval awareness and be like, where are they? Oh, there they are. And just chase after them with incredible speed, because she has 40 feet of speed as a centaur. She can dash as a bonus action, use dash as a regular action, ignore difficult terrain. And fortunately, Orion has a movement speed of 50 feet, so he wouldn't get left too far behind. The two of them come to see a creature. Artemis can just fire arrow after arrow. Orion can use a reaction to attack if he's close enough. Artemis, I imagine she would hunter's mark them, because she is the goddess of the hunt, goddess of the hunters. So bonus action hunter's mark, make 2 attacks, use sharpshooter to get a minus 5 to do plus 10 damage. So 2 attacks, she would have, let's see, normally she has plus 14 to all of her ranged attacks, but now she's going to have plus 9 because of sharpshooter. But if they both hit, they're going to do 2d8 plus 10 plus 2d6 from Hunter's Mark plus 20. So she can do an average of 46 damage every turn, and that's just from her attacks. She could transform into a dinosaur and attack them. She can cast powerful druid spells. She can use cleric magic to increase her armor class or heal herself or heal Orion. She can use her druid magic to just summon other animals to help her fight. She can just summon a few wolves to fight with her. She can have this Twilight Sanctuary going around her so her and her allies can always have these temporary hit points. They don't have to worry too much about being charmed or frightened. And she's just bounding around the battlefield, firing arrow after arrow. They try to hide from her, but with her incredible perception, she can find them. And because of Sharpshooter, her ranged attacks are going to ignore half cover and three quarters cover. If they try to escape her in the darkness, she has dark vision out to 300 feet, and it's not like her arrows are going to give her disadvantage for attacking outside of the weapon's range. She can just attack normally and just do a ton of damage. Even if they somehow get the jump on her and get in close, she has close quarter shooter, so she doesn't gain disadvantage for attacking them with a bow then either. Her and Orion just bounding through the moonlight. She just jumps off a cliff mid-jump, just turns into a giant eagle and takes off. Ugh, Artemis, you're so cool. Oh, she's awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. This is the second of the Olympians. There will be eventually 14, because the 12 Olympians, Hades and Hestia, will be included in that. I have no idea when I'm going to do it, because Zeus was literally the first episode I made, and just, oh god, how long have I been doing this? Like 6 months later, I just did Artemis, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see when the next one comes. Follow me over on Twitter at FantasizeMePod. You can email in character suggestions. Say you want another Olympian very soon. You can email me in which Olympian you want me to do at FantasizeMePod@gmail.com or whatever other suggestion you have. I've been doing people's recommendations for months now. I haven't done my own idea in a very long time, which I love, but please email in to FantasizeMePod@gmail.com. My Twitter notifications aren't really doing it for me, so I'm worried I'm missing some, so please email me. Over on my Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/fantasizeme, you can pick up the Elemental Codex, a supplement of 100 elemental spells, and you can also find Mundane Backgrounds for Extraordinary Heroes, a supplement of 10 backgrounds that many people might consider mundane, like dentist, toll booth operator, vice principal, custodian. And all through February, that is half off, so it's just 99 cents. It's less than a dollar, so pick that up while it's still so cheap. So yeah, rate 5 stars, and thank you so much for listening. We will do this again next week. Bye!